Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for an intelligence briefing on what I think of as the war for the free world, one of the most important fronts in that war. And it is a multi-front war, to be sure. But one of the most important of them is that being mounted by jihadists who seek to impose a doctrine they call Sharia on the rest of us. Through one means or another, the most obvious and dramatic, perhaps, is the violent kind. But every bit as dangerous, particularly to Western freedom-loving societies like ours, is the more stealthy, subversive kind, practiced most especially by organizations like the Muslim Brotherhood and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. I am thrilled to have with us today for a full hour a woman who has helped chronicle a very important facet of this subversive war against our country and others that love freedom, being waged by these jihadists in various forms and fashions, but specifically the piece that involves denying us knowledge of what they're doing, forcing us to submit to essentially their codes with respect to what we are allowed to know and what we're allowed to say, which of course informs what we are allowed to do. Her name is Anne Fishman. She is a lawyer by training. She is the founder and president of Liberty Legal Project, LLC, which provides legal research, analysis, strategy, publications, and so on, specifically designed to help promote human rights, freedom of speech, and the free exercise of religion. She is also the producer of an extraordinary film I had the privilege of providing cameo roles in, but it's nonetheless a most important movie entitled Silent Conquest. And we're going to spend this hour talking with Anne Fishman about her movie and about the story that it unfolds of a stealthy and, unfortunately, altogether too successful campaign of subversion and civilization jihad against us in the form of Sharia blasphemy laws and what we're being told we must do to conform to them. Anne Fishman, welcome. It's so great to have you with us, and thank you for taking an hour to talk with us about this incredibly important topic.
Thank you, Frank. Happy to be here.
Let's, before we turn to the movie, and talk a little bit about the background. I've given a little bit of an introduction to it here, but what is Sharia as you see it, and how does it affect this question of what we're allowed to say and think, for that matter?
Well, Sharia is the code for the Muslim faith, which is very all-encompassing, and it's really just the code of rules to live by. It comes from the Quran and the Hadith. And there are very specific provisions about what you can say, and about how you may express your religion, and how and whether or not you can change your religion. And to put it very simply, in the Quran and this has also made its way into the legal systems of many Muslim nations around the world, there is a death penalty for blasphemy. And there is a death penalty for defaming Islam in any way. And I'm going to get to what defamation means in this context. And there's a death penalty for apostasy, which means you leave the religion. So the problem that we're facing, and I don't want to get too far ahead, but is that this code has found its way, in a sense, into being legitimized in the United Nations, the European Union, not the death penalty, but that these things are improper and must be punished.
Mm-hmm. And that opens the door, of course, to penalties that the Islamists would impose pursuant to this code of Sharia. The blasphemy law specifically that advances this larger agenda by saying what's permissible to speak of, what's permissible to know, what's permissible to think, of course, is completely antithetical, Ann Fishman, to freedom of expression, let alone freedom of religion in a society like ours. Describe, if you would, the form that this takes in the Sharia context. Is this basically part and parcel of the code? Is this just the practice in some particularly backwards places? Is it the authoritative version of Islam?
Well, I think that people can see, if they read the news, that there are countries that get into the news all the time, Pakistan, Iran, other places where people are facing execution for these so-called crimes that I just enunciated. So there are people who put the Quran backwards and forwards, we know that this Sharia code punishes the following things: blasphemy, any kind of negative discussion of the Quran, sometimes even a non-negative discussion, because there is a sense you're just not allowed to discuss the Quran, you're not allowed to discuss Islam. It's sort of...
Especially if you're an infidel, right? That is to say, a non-Muslim doing this sort of thing is particularly subject to this kind of punishment.
Yes, and the terms that now have emerged. I think this is a critical thing, and the movie tries to show this as a starting point. When the Ayatollah Khomeini issued the death edict for Salman Rushdie for the satanic verses, really, it was the first time that we really can say someone from that part of the world took an interest in what, if, you know, someone in the United Kingdom was writing, and it has only gotten worse. So really what we're finding is that what we write, even what we're doing in our political system, has become the subject of their censorship. And one example is the Islamophobia reports that they issue. It's very interesting because you can read what they consider Islamophobia, and some of it is, for example, American Laws for American Courts, that initiative, that's Islamophobic.
We're going to come back and talk about that at greater length in a moment, Ann Fishman, but I do want to just drill down on this one point. Central to the whole practice of this Sharia blasphemy business is that it's really in the eyes of the Islamic beholder as to whether something is, in fact, a violation of these laws. If it gives offense, as they say, and that can even be, and I think you sort of touched on this a moment ago, a statement that is true about the Quran, for notably the point that has been made by many people over a long period of time that Muhammad married a child. Didn't consummate the marriage until she was 9, I think, but nonetheless married a child, which, you know, has caused him to be described as a pedophile. That has obviously been seen by the Islamists to be offensive and has incurred their wrath. Just talk for a moment further, if you would, about this subjective business and the idea that one mustn't say anything that could conceivably be offensive to folks, including, by the way, all of the materials that are used to train the FBI, the intelligence community, the military, the Department of Homeland Security about the nature of Sharia.
Right. Absolutely. Well, as you know, and this is very much your topic, the way this mindset has made it, for instance, to the United States government is any connection between Islam and terrorism, for instance, forbidden. You must not do that. Even if a terrorist openly states he's doing it pursuant to the Islamic religion or some other Islam-connected reason.
Like Nidal Hassan at Fort Hood, for example.
Yes, and you're not... So the concept... let me say this. Today, the terms that are used, and they really, I believe, pretty much are speaking to the same thing: blasphemy, hate speech, vilification, incitement to religious hatred, racism, defamation of religion, intolerance, negative stereotyping, and finally Islamophobia. These are the terms being used to denigrate really any statement made that it refers to Islam. Sometimes it can, and many times in a truthful way, and not a hurtful way. Nobody's trying to single out Islam. Any religion, Christianity, Catholic religion, Judaism, we're always talking about it in the United States, sometimes in a positive way, and sometimes we have issues with the tenets or the practice. And this is the American way. We discuss things.
Yes, it is. And it's what's really at risk, and why you have made this film, Silent Conquest, about which we'll be speaking more with Ann Fishman, its producer, in just a moment.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.
There's a reason Bill Bennett doesn't go after people that disagree with him.
I don't think you persuade people when you yell at them,
when you make fun of them,
when you wave your finger and scold them. I don't think you turn anybody around.
And I think the reason that you try to adopt the Socratic maxims of
candor, intelligence, and goodwill
is because people can change their minds.
They're not going to change their minds if you call them idiots.
I just don't think so.
Bill Bennett's Morning in America. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on 1260 WRC. New choice. Intelligent talk.
Are you looking to hire an IT specialist or a logistics expert? A medical technician or a security professional? Well, there are some very qualified candidates out there. America's wounded warriors. These men and women returning from battle are eager to get back to life at home and a good job. Some have wounds you can see, and some have wounds you can't see, like post-traumatic stress disorder. For these accomplished professionals, Wounded Warrior Project has developed the Warriors to Work program, a career counseling service that helps wounded warriors translate their military experience to the civilian workplace. These warriors have world-class job skills and a unique perspective on teamwork. And to ensure proper placement for each individual, Wounded Warrior Project works with employers to find just the right candidate for the job. When your company is looking to hire talented, highly trained employees, contact Wounded Warrior Project at findwwp.org. Welcome home the brave.
Hi, this is Frank Gaffney. My day job is running the Center for Security Policy, which each weeknight brings you this program. But Secure Freedom Radio is just one of the important contributions the Center makes to the common defense. We call our team the Special Forces in the War of Ideas. Like the real Special Forces, we strive to be agile, creative, and highly effective in identifying threats to our country and how they might best be countered. We can't do all this without you, though. Also, like the real Special Forces, ours need ammunition. And in the War of Ideas, ammo is money. The Center is a nonprofit, tax-exempt organization. Contributions to its work are tax-deductible and an important investment in your security and freedom. Find out more about the Center for Security Policy and how you can help keep its Special Forces team in the fight by visiting securefreedom.org. Many thanks.
Michael Medved says stupidity in our federal government is a bipartisan issue.
This administration and the leadership of Barack Obama
and the leadership of some folks in the Republican Party
are both so stupid and just so inane and brain dead. Can you see some kind of bright side here?
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
The Michael Medved Show.
You want to help me with this?
Afternoons from 3 to 6 on 1260 WRC. New choice. Intelligent talk.
Ready to roll?
Go for it.
Hi, I'm Jessie Jane Duff. I'm a retired United States Marine Corps Gunnery Sergeant, and I served 20 years on active duty serving this great country. I'm with Concerned Veterans for America now. After I got off active duty, I realized I still wanted to be involved and help change the direction our country is going. Concerned Veterans for America offered me that great opportunity. If you want to get involved and you're thinking of getting involved, please visit our website because we have many activities throughout the nation. We have wonderful representatives in each state who are putting forward different ways you can become engaged. So go to the website at concernedveteransforamerica.org, and you do not have to be a veteran. But if you support the freedoms that we all fought so hard for to defend this great nation, then consider participating in the many activities we are participating in and helping to change the direction our country is going.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. We're visiting with Ann Fishman, the producer of a marvelous documentary entitled Silent Conquest. And we're visiting with her about why she was obliged to make such a film at a moment when we are indeed being subjected to a silent form of conquest, a subversive effort to suppress, among other things, our freedom of speech. Ann is the founder and president of Liberty Legal Project and an attorney by trade. And you were talking a little bit about the litany of things in our first segment that are now trying to be suppressed by adherence to this Sharia doctrine and their, well, agents and enablers. Talk, if you would, in that regard about specifically an organization most of us have never heard of called the Organization of Islamic Cooperation.
Okay, well, in 1969, an organization called the Organization of the Islamic Conference was formed to represent the Muslim dominant nations in the world. It has recently been renamed Organization of Islamic Cooperation. The significance of this organization is that, one, it is a majority voting bloc in the UN, and it votes primarily as a bloc. And for the purpose of our conversation, in 2005, it issued what they call the 10-year plan for the organization. And among many other things, it said, we are going to combat Islamophobia. And after that, annual reports, the Islamophobia reports are issued, which are online. You can read them and see what is considered Islamophobic. And a very aggressive campaign began to pretty much finalize this push to illegalize really any talk about Islam that could be considered offensive.
To people who are very easily offended, it goes without saying, as these guys at the OIC and the Muslim Brotherhood and others associated with it are always expressing their umbrage at anything that they find offensive, whether there's a grounds for that or not. We're visiting with Ann Fishman, the producer of a terrific film, Silent Conquest. It is now going to be available to you through the miracle of the internet, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. But, and we were visiting about the OIC and this idea that anything that is offensive to its Islamist membership, 57 members, they like to say 57 states. There's one that isn't yet, Palestine, that they nonetheless roll into this mix. But it represents the Muslim majority nations and I guess a few outriders in which there's a prominent Muslim population as well. But talk a bit about why strategically it is so important to these folks to parlay through these international mechanisms, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation in the first instance, the United Nations, in which it is a dominant force these days, is a second, this you know, sort of suppression of freedom of speech. How does it work for their purposes?
Well, in my view, this program is very much coordinated with the migration program. And if you look at the international conventions from, you know, the United Nations, you will see that those two, that the speech codes, which are part of the UN program, and I want to get to how the U.S. has dealt with that, and the migration part, they are connected. And as, and the point I'm sure has been made by many others, as, and let's take Europe. There's so much migration into Europe, and people sometimes say, gee, what's happening? And I don't like this, or is this affecting our culture? Well, that's illegal in Europe now. The inability to discuss is very connected with the inability to discuss migration. And because they have no, migration is not going to be terminated in any way. And that, and I mean, I think this is out of the UN. And so they keep on to speech codes to keep people from talking.
So let's just put a fine point on this. There are people, Geert Wilders comes to mind, a prominent figure in the Dutch parliament, one of the leaders of that country, and you feature him and his saga in your film, Silent Conquest, and He has been warning, among others, about the implications for his country and for Europe more generally of the mass migration of people from North Africa and the Middle East and elsewhere who are bringing in this very different value system, this Sharia code, among other things. And what you're saying, Anne, is that this Islamophobia campaign of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation is designed in part to prevent people from raising the alarm about what's happening demographically and otherwise to their countries as part of the program, I guess, of compelling submission to the Sharia doctrine writ large. Is that right?
Well, in a sense, yes. And if I may go into this, for example, you know, it's interesting because we really see it happening in our country. And it's pretty alarming because it's not being discussed. But even the case of Captain Paul Phillips in Tulsa, for example, you know, if I may.
Yes, please. No, that's a very important story. Go ahead.
And a terrible story. And I'm hoping that he does get hit, you know, that the Supreme Court will review the case and give a better result. But just very briefly, he was punished for refusing to go to the mosque at the
end. And remind us who he is exactly.
Oh, I'm sorry. In Tulsa, there's a Captain Paul Phillips. He had been on the force for 17 years.
The police force.
You know, he had a supervisory position. And the local Islamic Society of Tulsa invited the police force to an event to discover Islam classes for non-Muslims. And it was voluntary. And no one signed up to go. So Captain Phillips, who supervised a lot of people, was told, okay, you're going to have to assign people to go at different shifts. He said, I'm a Christian and I don't want to do that. And I think this is wrong. Well, he was suspended. They did an internal affairs investigation on him. He was demoted. So he brought suit against the captain of the force, et cetera. And at the district court level, the police force won. He appealed and the 10th Circuit just affirmed, I think last month, that the position of the police force, that this was something within his job description to do.
Okay. Now let's regroup on this because I think this is such an extraordinary and outrageous story. The captain of the police force was required to basically get his police officers to go to a mosque to observe and learn about and otherwise somehow be imbued by the Muslim community? Is that basically the idea?
Well, Frank, they call it sensitivity training, and we know it's happened at the TSA, it's happened in the Army, and this is the problem, as I see it, and I'm a Christian, so I relate to him. Let's just say this. If we were to say we want Muslims to come to the synagogue and learn about Judaism, the ACLU would be on it so fast. And you know what? I respect the right of a Muslim to say, I'm not going in a synagogue or a church. But this shows disrespect for the right of a Christian to say, I don't want to go in. It's not that I don't like them. It's not that I won't do my job with respect to them. But we're talking about religion here. So to me, this is an establishment of religion issue. I don't know if that was brought up. It seems clear as day.
So he's essentially been repudiated by the courts to this point, and his case may be going to the Supreme Court. So, Anne Fishman, we'll be right back with more about all of this, but what you basically have just laid out is an example of how our system is accommodating and, in fact, enforcing Sharia codes, in this case, perhaps not blasphemy speech, but nonetheless the obligation of everyone to submit to this program and its dictates. And it's appalling, not unfortunately an isolated incident, but a particularly egregious one where our courts are being used for this purpose. We'll be talking more with a practicing attorney and the producer of a marvelous film, Silent Conquest, Anne Fishman, right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.
Hugh Hewitt keeps the Constitution first.
That's what the left is about right now. Not about this or that.
Regulation or restriction.
Not about keeping weapons out of the hands of the mentally disabled. It's about attacking the Constitution. And by the way, you cannot mess with the Second Amendment without messing with the First and the Fourth and the Fifth and the Tenth. You either respect the Constitution or you don't.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weeknights at 6 after Michael Medved at 3 on 1260 WRC. New Choice, intelligent talk.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Last weekend, President Obama's National Security Advisor Susan Rice reprised her previous notorious Sunday talk show appearances following the jihadist attacks in Benghazi in September 2012. Once again, she served as the administration's designated liar, this time spinning, dissembling, and misleading the American people about Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. For example, Ambassador Rice asserted that Bergdahl was a prisoner of war. Actually, the Army has known for 5 years that he voluntarily went over to the other side. That fact makes a lie of her even more outrageous claim that he had served, quote, with honor and distinction, unquote. It is an insult to all who actually did their duty in uniform that she would assert he had too. Susan Rice has serially broken faith with the American people. She must resign. This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Learn more at securefreedom.org.
The Devil We Don't Know by Noni Darwish uncovers the dark side of revolution in the Middle East and the reason why Muslim countries are unable to dig themselves out of a cycle of revolution, political unrest, and tyranny. The constitutions of many Muslim countries state that Sharia law supersedes all other law, and that is why it has failed in providing a legal and political system where healthy democracy can flourish. In this dynamic, only tyrannical governments can survive. In The Devil We Don't Know, human rights activist and Center for Security Policy fellow Noni Darwish answers the tough questions. Why the Arab Spring won't usher in freedom and democracy or a feminist movement. And how Israel will be threatened by the new wave of Islamism after the so-called Arab Spring. The Devil We Don't Know by Noni Darwish. It's available at Amazon.com.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, wherever the mission takes us, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for our nation, for us all. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Hi, this is Frank Affney. You're listening to Intelligent Talk on WRC 1260 in Washington, D.C.
Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Our guest is Anne Fishman. She is the marvelous driving force and producer of a film called Silent Conquest. It is a documentary about the topic we're discussing for the full hour today with her, and that is the effort by adherents to this Islamic supremacist doctrine known as Sharia to impose it on all the rest of us through violent means where they can, that's what has come to be called jihad, and through more subversive techniques, which the Muslim Brotherhood calls civilization jihad. We spoke earlier about the Organization of Islamic Cooperation and the role that it has been playing in trying to institutionalize, at the expense of our freedom of speech, the Sharia blasphemy laws that they impose upon Muslims wherever they can and that they now want the rest of us to conform to as well. Anne Fishman, thank you again for giving us generously of your time to discuss this. Let's talk a little bit about your film and the concept, and then we'll drill down on some of the things that you expose in it, like this so-called Istanbul process. What prompted you to want to make this in the first place?
Well, a few years ago, in connection with some legal work I was doing, I came across one person after another in Europe and elsewhere who had been prosecuted for what they said. And I couldn't believe it, but after researching, I found it was correct. and true. And it just was so simple. And even if people have heard of an isolated case here and there, I felt there has to be dots to connect. And I really didn't know what I was going to find. But once I got into it, and I traveled around the world to interview people and just hear their stories. These are people, normal, average, peaceful people who either were in the middle of a trial or had just gotten through one or had escaped an attack, a physical attack, et cetera, et cetera. So I documented that, and then I decided to drill deep into where are these laws coming from. And I'll just quickly say it's the covenants out of the United Nations is the way these speech codes are being implemented. Now, the United States, and I just want to quickly address it because I think it's very important. The International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights was enacted by the General Assembly in 96. We signed in the 90s with a reservation saying, well, we're signing, but we're not going to change our freedom of speech. There's an article to the basically the racial hatred code that is a predicate for the laws that you're seeing in Europe. My problem with these provisions is, one, what is hate? I mean, I like love better than hate, but it's so poorly defined. The way that these conventions work, and this is the way that the OIC is getting a footing into our legal systems about speech, Frank. That's why it's so important. These codes would never pass constitutional challenge because I think they're void for vagueness. The terms are so poorly defined, so really a prosecutor can make them apply to any situation.
And in Europe, in some cases in Canada, they actually have been doing that. And I guess this is the point. You're talking about a stealthy effort to impose these on us because it's not being done through our normal lawmaking process whereby members of Congress have to bring legislation forward and defend it in the public space and have it formally approved by their colleagues and then signed into law by the president. It's all being done sort of sub rosa through these international vehicles, the OIC and the UN, of course. Talk, if you would, a little bit about one of the particular vehicles for this, something called Resolution 1618.
Okay. Since 1999, first through Pakistan, then other Muslim nations, and in some cases the OIC, they were bringing at the Human Rights Commission and the Human Rights Council level resolutions to prohibit defamation of Islam. That did not go over that well, so they changed it to defamation of religion, which I think was accepted at one time, maybe in 08. But for the most part, the U.S. wasn't even part of the commission. From 06 to, I think, 09, we said, you know what, we're not going to be part of this. Under Obama, 1618 was passed. The U.S. supported it. And this is basically what it says. The title really says everything. It says combating intolerance, negative stereotyping, et cetera, et cetera. Now, why am I saying et cetera, et cetera? Because this is the thing. In order to just, okay, well, let me get to something else. Right after this was passed, Hillary Clinton said, we're going to implement this. By the way, that's unprecedented. And it wasn't called for in the resolution. She said, we're going to implement this in a very real way. We're going to call it the Istanbul process. Four such meetings of the Istanbul process have happened. The most recent was in March in Qatar. And for the most part, these are Chatham House rules, off the record. They don't even tell you who's there in some of these meetings. You don't know which countries are there, but it is a wholesale effort to, quote, combat intolerance and balance it with freedom of speech. Now, in the United States of America, I think we've done a great job, but they're trying to basically rewrite the First Amendment behind closed doors.
Let's talk a little bit about Hillary Clinton's role in all of this, Ann Fishman, because, you know, she is evidently going to be running for president, and she has made it pretty clear. We've seen some snippets from her new forthcoming book, Hard Choices, that speak to this. She's going to be running on her record as Secretary of State in no small measure. Talk a bit, if you would, about the specific role she played in this so-called Istanbul process, as best it can be discerned, because as you say, much of it was done behind closed doors. But she has made some public statements about, for example, the techniques that she envisioned us using to try to accommodate these restrictions on speech without formally abandoning the First Amendment?
Well, I'm not exactly positive what you're referring to, but I mean, I know she said things like naming and shaming, but
there you go. And peer pressure, old fashioned techniques of naming and shaming and peer pressure would be used to basically enforce 1618, as I understand it.
But I think it goes way beyond it. And I'm quite concerned. I'm actually very concerned about what's happening. I urge people who are interested to just go online, try to find the reports. I find this outrageous. The report of the first meeting in D.C. in 2011 will not name all the participants, not name all the nations. So let's face it, Frank. There's no party to that process which is going to improve freedom of speech or freedom of religion. This is a very bad problem for the American people. We do not stand to gain. We stand to lose. And it's being done behind closed doors.
Yeah, the whole exercise is about trying to find accommodations to people who are opposed to our freedom of speech, specifically where it relates to our ability to talk about Sharia. Anne Fishman is our guest. She is the, as I say, driving force behind this marvelous new film, Silent Conquest. And do let's talk a little bit about the film. We've been talking about the sort of context and what you've been focusing on, of course. But you pulled this thing together on the basis of anecdotes of people who have actually had their freedom of expression infringed upon in Europe, in Canada, and you know, warnings of it coming here as well. Talk a little bit about some of the people whose stories you cover in it.
Well, Mark Stein, for example, he's in the film, and I believe that the law in Canada that was used to prosecute him were the human rights provisions, and I believe some of them may have been repealed. But you know, Canada actually, by terms of their constitution, that's a multicultural place, and every other right, including freedom of speech, is subservient to multiculturalism. He was sued in three places for his book, and I'm trying to remember the name of the book. I'm sorry, Frank, but it just repeated stuff about immigration, quoted some imams who were talking about immigration.
I think it was America Alone, wasn't it?
I think it might be. And he was sued. Now, it wasn't that they said he said something untrue. It just I think the point of his prosecution was, you're not supposed to say anything at all. This is an untouchable subject.
That might be offensive, particularly. Exactly.
Well, and how can one know? Because it's just completely at odds with how we carry on business. I believe he was vindicated at the end, but to defend three proceedings. You know, this is a toll on your life.
On your life and on your finances and on your reputation and so on. And that's the point, isn't it, Anne Fishman? That is the point, is to bring all of those kinds of pressures to bear, whether it's naming and shaming, as Hillary Clinton said, or using human rights processes or formal prosecution, as has happened with several of the other people you profiled, Geert Wilders and Lars Hedegaard. We'll talk more with Anne Fishman about those anecdotes, those insights from her film Silent Conquest, and what we must be doing here to protect our constitutional freedoms. We'll lose them right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
An inspector general serves as an independent watchdog in each federal agency, promoting integrity and efficiency while rooting out fraud, waste, and abuse of authority in our government. Several important U.S. agencies have not had an IG for years, including the State Department, which has been without an IG for 5 years. During a constant wave of scandals in Washington, D.C., the newly published IG handbook by yours truly, Joseph E. Schmitz, couldn't be more timely. Every IG takes an oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. By exposing fraud, waste, or abuse through audits, IGs satisfy the constitutional mandate that a regular statement and account of the receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published from time to time. The new IG handbook explains by what authority and for what purpose an inspector general does what he or she does on behalf of we, the people. Find the Inspector General Handbook on Amazon.com.
Hi, this is Frank Gaffney. My day job is running the Center for Security Policy, which each weeknight brings you this program. But Secure Freedom Radio is just one of the important contributions the Center makes to the common defense. We call our team the Special Forces in the War of Ideas. Like the real Special Forces, we strive to be agile, creative, and highly effective in identifying threats to our country and how they might best be countered. We can't do all this without you, though. Also, like the real Special Forces, ours need ammunition. And in the War of Ideas, ammo is money. The Center is a nonprofit, tax-exempt organization. Contributions to its work are tax-deductible and an important investment in your security and freedom. Find out more about the Center for Security Policy and how you can help keep its Special Forces team in the fight by visiting securefreedom.org. Many thanks.
I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel of the American Freedom Law Center, our nation's premier public interest law firm fighting for your faith and freedom in courtrooms across America. Make no mistake, we live in a pivotal time. Secular progressives such as Barack Obama and his surrogates are zealously sweeping religion from the public square, foisting Sharia law and other harmful international precedents into our courts and constitution, assaulting the traditional family, and weakening our national defense by, among other things, undermining the strength of our military through social engineering and political correctness. But I can assure you that the American Freedom Law Center is aggressively engaging our nation's enemies with offensive lawfare to defend our fundamental rights and to fight stealth jihad in all of its forms, including the civilization jihad being waged by Muslim Brotherhood front groups operating here in the U.S. Indeed, there is no other public interest law firm as uniquely qualified to fight this battle. But we need your prayers and financial support to succeed. Please consider a tax-deductible donation to support our critical fight for your faith and freedom. Visit us at www.AmericanFreedomLawCenter.org.
I had no choice the news that was given to me on August 2nd.
Gold Star mom, Debbie Lee.
But I did have a choice how I responded.
In August 2006, Mark Allen Lee became the first Navy SEAL to lose his life in Iraq.
I chose to put on Mark's boots, pick up his weapon, and stay in the fight for our troops and their families.
And America's Mighty Warriors was born.
Mark's name meant Mighty Warrior. And he definitely lived up to his name.
At AmericasMightyWarriors.org, you'll find Mark's last letter home.
Read it, and you'll know what AMW's about.
It's about service to active duty members of the military and their families.
Including care packages, visits, and more.
It's about supporting the wounded and the people who love them.
It's about the Gold Star family.
Special retreats, concerts, Mother's and Father's Day events. To let them know they're loved and not forgotten. Donations are tax deductible and go directly where they're needed.
Read Mark's last letter home.
And just as he inspired his mom, let Mark inspire you to some random acts of kindness of your own.
This is Jenny Thomas. I do video interviews of leaders with the Daily Caller. I had the privilege recently of interviewing Diana West about her extraordinary new book, American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. You can see it at dailycaller.com. American Betrayal reads like a spellbinding historical thriller, but it is also a carefully documented account of how the U.S. government was penetrated by communist agents in the years after President Roosevelt normalized relations with the Soviet Union. Diana West shows how a similar assault is being mounted today by yet another collectivist ideology, the supremacist Islamic doctrine of Sharia. She establishes that while the communists and the Islamists may have very different visions of the world, they have employed the same techniques to defeat America. Please watch my conversation with Diana West about American Betrayal, then check out the other great leaders we profile at dailycaller.com.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're having a fabulous conversation, an hour-long, very special program of Secure Freedom Radio about a very important topic, mostly unremarked by our leaders as well as the rest of us, namely the infringement upon our freedom of speech that is taking place not just in the Western world or free world more generally, but right here in the United States as well. It's happening in part as a result of the efforts of Islamists
who are seeking in ways that our guest Ann Fishman has just chronicled with us and lays out at great length and in very, very effective detail in her new film, Silent Conquest, through various techniques, using institutions of the United Nations, using things that are called the Istanbul Process and the like, to restrict this most fundamental of our freedoms, freedom of speech. Ann Fishman, you have made this film. Tell us why you're particularly concerned about developments in our own country that suggest these infringements on freedom of speech are now really taking hold.
Well, something that you and the center are noted for, I'll bring that up, that you are very behind the American Laws for American Courts initiative. And we have actually seen that in U.S. courts, state courts, that the Sharia is sometimes used to adjudicate a case. Now, that's happened in New Jersey in a domestic violence case. It's happened in Florida. I think it was in a state wills and estate case. They actually use Sharia.
A lot of family law cases are having this insinuated
in. Yes, this is alarming. Now, the American Laws for American Courts will address that as it should. As I mentioned earlier, that is considered Islamophobic to have laws in our country which say, listen, this is the U.S., we're going to use U.S. laws. That's considered Islamophobic. So that is how far...
Even though it doesn't specify that Sharia is one of the bodies of law that you're not allowed to use, they still insist that it is Islamophobic.
Because I think they understand what we're trying to do. You know, we're not trying to be against anybody, but we are trying to preserve freedom. And this country will change dramatically overnight if freedom of speech is subverted, and it is being subverted.
It is indeed, and this is really powerfully documented by your film. In one of the cases in point, it seems to me, I've called for the resignation of Susan Rice, and because I believe that what she did most recently in connection with the Sergeant Bergdahl affair is lied to the American people. But before that, she lied to them serially in connection with something that really directly touches on the subject of your film, Silent Conquest. Talk a little bit about her assertions concerning Benghazi.
After that horrific tragedy, the murder of four Americans, including the ambassador, September 11th, 2012, a heinous, terrible thing, the State Department, the U.S. government position, the first thing they said is, okay, this is connected to this crazy video, Innocence of Muslims, that was put on YouTube in July of this year, and we're going to punish him. And this, I mean, Hillary Clinton said on television, on just Judge Jeanine's show, was quoted by Charles Wood, the fallen of the slain, as saying, came to him and said, Charles, we're going to arrest that filmmaker. This is the height of insanity.
He is to this day the only man, only person who has been criminally persecuted, prosecuted, punished for this attack. It's unbelievable.
The murderers are free, as far as I know. I think two people were apprehended somewhere, but that went nowhere, as far as I know. So a film that was not connected to these murders, which apparently were premeditated, had nothing to do with the film. This is what is blamed by our United States government. I feel this is highly connected to the mindset that's being created by this Istanbul process.
And Hillary Clinton's role in it. And I have to say, Ann Fishman, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but it seems to me that there is almost certainly in all of this a connection to a woman by the name of Homa Abedin, who is tied in myriad ways, personally as well as through her family, to the Muslim Brotherhood, who has been sitting at the right hand of Hillary Clinton for a dozen years. And we just saw yesterday in the Washington Free Beacon, by the way, evidence that she's still engaged on her behalf, going in to complain to the New York Times that it wasn't giving favorable enough coverage to Hillary Clinton. So the role that this woman plays in promoting the OIC agenda, the Islamophobia agenda, the Istanbul process and so on, seems to me to be something that, especially if we're going to be obliged to look more closely at Hillary Clinton's record because she seeks the presidency, has to be given close attention against the backdrop of what you've described in Silent Conquest, Anne, namely the infringement entailed in all of this on our fundamental First Amendment rights.
If I may follow up on the Benghazi, right after, as we know, to be perfectly clear, it has been established that that was a lie, that that was false. It had nothing to do with the video. So it was untrue. But a few days later, our president and our secretary of state at that time then made this very apologetic commercial that was to air in certain countries in that region. Mm-hmm. And this is my feeling, and this is just my personal opinion. Whatever that video was, whatever it was lawful under U.S. law. And that is what needs to be stated, that we may not agree with it. We might think it's stupid, horrible, but it's legal under U.S. law. But that's not what's being said. That's why if people care about their freedom of speech, and I hope that they will, because once you lose it, how do you get it back? Every totalitarian regime in history has silenced people. So once you can't speak, it's very difficult to change anything.
We've talked about support for American laws for American courts as one way of trying to help counter all of this. And Fishman, I want to encourage people to take the opportunity to view your film, and it can be seen at iTunes right now. And again, a disclaimer, despite the fact that I'm in it in places, it is a remarkable treatment of this very important subject with a whole host of eminent, thoughtful folks. In closing, Anne, what else should Americans be thinking, doing, and saying about this right now?
I think two things are on my mind. Demand the records. I want to know who said what, because the agenda is to change our standard of freedom of speech. That is my position. I don't care what they, intolerance, all of that. That's the agenda. And frankly, I'll say this. If you want to teach people about freedom of religion and freedom of speech existing side by side, let's invite everybody here and come here, stay for a month, and you're going to see every type of movie, every type of cartoon, every type of book, and we don't kill each other, and we don't have riots. That is the standard.
Do it in an open setting.
Well, it works. It works, Frank. And if somebody does do something crazy, they get arrested.
Let me just add one other place where I think attention is really urgently needed, and I know you're concerned about it as well. Democrats in the United States Senate, led by the Majority Leader Harry Reid, are now seeking explicitly to amend the Constitution of the United States so as to restrict our First Amendment freedoms. Specifically, they want to go after political speech. It seems to me that is a very slippery slope that, especially at a moment when this stealth jihad is underway, is likely to result in other restrictions on freedom of speech. Shouldn't we resist this with every fiber of our being as a free people?
Absolutely, Frank. I am not aware of any prior effort to change the dimensions of the First Amendment. So this is very alarming, but not surprising, because I feel that there are people in this, in the government right now who have very little respect for freedom of speech.
They see it as a problem for them, as a matter of fact. And this is really what goes to your point about sort of totalitarians. This is where you wind up, folks, if we're not careful. I hope where you will wind up in the meantime, though, is seeing Anne Fishman's wonderful film, Silent Conquest. You can get it at iTunes. It will also be available on pay cable in July. Anne Fishman, thank you for the courage that you've exhibited in making this film and sharing your thoughts with us about it. I commend you for that and look forward to further visiting with you. And to helping in any way we can in promoting this idea of preserving our freedom of expression. I hope the rest of you will come back for more free expression tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.